The first pasuk of Parshas Bahar contains the word that gives the parsha its name, Bahar, in a reference to Har Sinai, introducing the topic of the mitzvah of Shemitah, leading Rashi to ask its often quoted question, Ma inin Shemitah etzel Har Sinai? What is the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? And the answer that Rashi gives, that just as Shemitah, all of its principles and its rules were given at Har Sinai, so too all of the Torah, still requires greater explanation as to what is the specific connection. And the Shem Yishmuel notes that there is a connection on a conceptual level, that when it comes to Har Sinai, we are told that Har Sinai was not the highest mountain, and yet the Torah was given on that for that reason, because we need to have a message of humility associated with the Torah. But if that's the case, then one could ask, why give the Torah on a mountain at all? Why not give the Torah on a low place, such as a valley? And the point perhaps is, as he notes, that if we're indeed looking to a low place, and if that's the message, then there's nothing impressive, or there's nothing significant about humility, because there's nothing to be humble about. The point of humility that is noteworthy is the fact that there is restraint, that there is greatness, and yet there is still a holding back, and that's what humility is. There is humble strength, and that's also what Shemitah represents, the ability to bring forth produce and to bring forth resources, and yet the intentional holding back, that restraint and recognition of God's command and God's providing for us, that's itself the message of Shemitah, and that is consistent with this theme that Har Sinai itself represents. Indeed, the mitzvah of Shemitah itself is the subject of much discussion as to what its message actually is. There are quite a few theories. It's generally associated with bitachon, the idea that we are able to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He will provide for us, even if we hold back from working the land for an entire year and more. And this is a theme that the Sefer Achinuch and others emphasize. And there are many additional themes as well. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim and Chelek Gimel in Parak Lamites actually suggests that it's for practical reasons to give the land a rest in order to allow it to grow better. The Tiferes Yehonasan of Yonasan Eibshitz has an interesting interpretation that the point is to allow the land to catch up to its owners in terms of having an observance of Shabbos and Yontif, because even though during the six preceding years the owners presumably didn't actually work on Shabbos and Yontif, but the land continued to go through its processes because of the work that the owners did do in the previous 6 days and in the non-Yontif days. And therefore, in order to cover for all of those days of Shabbos and Yontif over the course of 6 years, you get an entire year. So therefore, that Shemitah year is in order to give the land a break that parallels all those days that it didn't take off for all of those Shabbosim and Yom Tovim. A fascinating concept. The Sefer Achinuch also adds other themes to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the land, just like Shabbos on a weekly basis. So we have this on a yearly cycle, and this is the theme that we have of Shemitah being the Shabbos Haaretz, and also that there should be a spirit of Asranus, that we should have the quality of being able to give up what we have to others. And this theme in general, which seems somewhat socialistic or somewhat like capitalism, has often been emphasized here as a question of what exactly it represents about the attitude of Judaism as a whole. But of course, we note that the other 6 years, we have what is essentially a capitalist market system. And this highlights the fact that the Torah is essentially balancing different systems, and that there is no one system that represents the Torah's philosophy. The Torah is a wisdom that transcends every other system and has elements of these different systems that mankind has developed later on in order to bring out the best of all of them and to maximize the benefits for humanity and for God's message. The Ksav Sofer suggests that there is a theme of unity that is found in Shemitah, the fact that even those who are otherwise wealthy and successful in developing crops now will not know what their future has to bring, but nonetheless are going to share what they have with those who are less fortunate. That creates a concept and an atmosphere of unity, and that specifically is crucial as you anticipate Matan Torah, and therefore the association between Shemitah and Har Sinai is highlighted through that element. In Pasuk Hey, we see a reference to Sfiach Kitzircha. Rashi explains that this word refers to even that which grows from seeds that just fall, even if you didn't sow it yourself on purpose. And here, the fact that the Torah says Lo Sitzor, the Mishnah in Shvi'as explains that that which grows on its own can be harvested with a shinoi in a different manner. But nonetheless, the rabbis prohibited it completely out of concern that people would plant secretly and then claim that it just grew on its own. And the rabbinic prohibition was then connected to the language of the pasuk, which sounds like it is an absolute prohibition on harvesting. Later on in the Aliyah, we read about Yovel, and the language of the pasuk that was cited on the Liberty Bell, pasuk Yud, where the Torah tells us, Ukrasem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So Rashi explains this is a reference to all the avadim, whether they are nirtza or not. And the Sfarno understands differently that it's a reference to all of the land because it goes back to its original owners. So the question of why Rashi understands it's a reference to all of the Avadim, to all of the slaves, so then why doesn't the Torah use that language rather than L'chol Yoshveha? And Rebbe Baruch Finkel suggested Al Pidarech HaMusar that perhaps the idea is that there is liberty to the Bnei Chorin here as well because of the sense of identification that they had with their fellow Jews, that the Eved Ivri, who is enslaved, also impacts their own sense of liberty, and until he is also able to feel liberty, the Bnei Chorin also don't feel liberty, and it's only at that moment that indeed liberty is felt. L'chol Yoshveha. The next pasuk talks about the prohibitions that apply during the year of the Yovel, including Lo Sizro, Velo Sitzru, that there shouldn't be sowing or reaping. And the Menchas Chinuch understands that Yovel and Shemitah are equal in all of their laws, but he notes there's one possible difference, that the idea that there is a Shvisa, that there is a rest that applies specifically to the land in and of itself, in addition to the prohibition that applies to individuals, he's not sure if that actually applies during the Yovel, and he notes that that may be a difference of opinion among the Rishonim. And the difference is that even though there would be a prohibition to work the land either way, perhaps if there isn't a concept that applies to the land directly, then there wouldn't be a prohibition to have a non-Jew work the land, and that could create a significant difference. There is a further possible relationship between Yovel and Shemitah. Yovel is not practiced b'zman hazeh. The Gemara Maseches Erchin and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph tells us that in order for Yovel to be applicable, based on this previous pasuk of L'chol Yoshveha, that we need to have Kol Yoshveha Aleha, that all of the Jews not only have to be living in the land of Israel, but they actually have to be living in their assigned portions of land. So we don't have that. We have it very far from that. So we don't have Yovel in observance today. So the question is, to what extent does that affect Shemitah? So Shemitah is a major machlokes, whether or not Shemitah applies today on a level midrabanan or min haTorah or as a mitas chasidus. And there are many possibilities. One possibility is that it is linked to Yovel, in which case it would follow that rule. Another possibility is that it's linked to Trumas and Maizos, in which case it would follow those standards and would perhaps be obligatory midrabanan. And there are other possibilities as well. And this is a very crucial question because this is a major factor in the ongoing debate about the Heter Mechira, that those who support the Heter Mechira rely on the assumption that Shemitah nowadays is a rabbinical obligation at most, and that is a crucial part of that ongoing controversy.